Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Help us to have clarity in our understanding of your will and faithfulness to you in our actions. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot going on these days. One of the many things our Bible tells us is, do not be deceived. And at the end of today's broadcast, I will touch on current events. Now, somehow, we must recognize, with God's direction and God's help, what is an intentional deception and what is a mistake when we are speaking. Our lives and our greater future posterity and our eternity all can be misdirected if we believe a lie. Words are important. We try to use the right words. We try to do the right thing. But some people say they will try, and that means they will put some effort into it. But if they fail, they will say, it's okay because I tried. And it seems to me like there is a big difference between this kind of a standard and the standard which God requires of us. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He did not say, try to be holy. And yet we do fail, whether we're trying or really, really doing it. Oh, and this is a good time for me to correct a mistake that I made 2 weeks ago on this Christ Today broadcast. Because I said Christ was born in Jerusalem, and I cringed when I heard this on the radio, because I know that Christ was born in Bethlehem. Also on the same broadcast, I said billion of seconds when I should have said million of seconds. And I did correct it in the very next sentence, but I felt bad to have made those mistakes, and yet there I was, I said it, and I can only apologize, which is what I'm doing now. So, what this made me think of was a situation where, what are God's standards? And I would say that God, from the Bible, tells us to be holy. It is a perfect holiness, but he recognizes the intent of our heart. And that is why we must not judge others, because God alone discerns and judges the intent of our heart. Just maybe we can play these little mind games in our head with ourselves, and yet God knows the truth, and God will not be fooled or misled by the things we say, because he knows our thoughts, or the intents of our heart. And the important thing is that we are Christ followers. And this is something we do in prayer and in Bible. And I think that God wants us to follow Jesus Christ faithfully. Not by trying, but by actually doing the best we know how. And you know the true answer of this is, did we do it? Did we try? Was it really in our inner self to know and to do? Well, follow your conscience and repent of your ungodly ways and do what is right in God's eyes. There is only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yes, that's a mystery. At least it seems that way to me. The Bible says it's true, and I believe it. And yet it is a mystery because we can only partially understand it. But I understand enough to know that it's true. And so we are to believe and have faith in what God says, and we are to repent from the things that are not of God. And what does repent mean? It means to turn away, to walk away, to not look at and not think about those things which are not of God. And to do this, we can fill ourselves with Jesus Christ. Invite him into every part of you, and then you will be filled with God's light. And you'll be lit up, and there will be no more darkness. and you won't want to have those dark parts anymore anyway. You will only want the light of Jesus, good and pure and holy Jesus. Well, like I say so often, I've been thinking about what goes on in this world. And because I don't want you to be hurt. I don't like it when people hurt. But we've seen from history, we've seen from our own life experience, how circumstances in life around us will lead us to some sort of circumstances. Often enough, it's economic. Often enough, it's because of our heart. But the circumstances just lead us to a place. And we have circumstances going on all around us, in our life, in our country. And there are things that we can be aware of. And that gives us a chance to either respond to them wisely or even change those things. Change those things that are, you might say, in error, and do the things that are right, the things that are holy, the things that are of God. And I know I think about this country, and I think about the things going on, and I think about the moral state of the things and the economy. There's lots of people who are seeing that we could very well go into a depression, a recession, some kind of hardship economically. And I see it too. There's plenty of people who do. But the timing of it, now that I don't understand. But we can use caution and see what makes sense to do if the economy does go into a very difficult place. And of course, I think about the timing of it, and that's something I certainly do not understand. To me, it could just as easily be 7 weeks as it could be 7 years. Now, that's quite a difference. 7 weeks or 7 years, I do lean towards a shorter time than a longer time. But there's lots of ways that things could happen in our world. It could happen as one big event, and it could happen as a series of smaller events. Even things that appear small, but they get a precedent set, and you notice the effects long term. So I've studied economic depressions, and even the one that was in this country, beginning 1929. So I've seen that things happen, and to me, I clearly see that there's some kind of a depression coming, but like I said, I don't know when, and I see the important thing is to look at it, to pay attention, and see what if it did happen, then what would we do? You see, to me it's important to warn people of what I see, and I think of that Proverbs 27:12, and it says that we can see trouble coming and move out of its way. And it's interesting to me that so many people see trouble coming. I talk to people, and they recognize very clearly that we could certainly have a very significant trouble coming, economic trouble, moral trouble, political trouble. Yes, trouble could be coming. But what I see is so remarkable is that so few people are taking any preventative actions. So few people are taking preventative steps so that if something difficult does happen, it won't affect them so greatly. So I kind of wonder why. No surprise there, because they see it, but they're not doing much of anything. So, hey, maybe it's something in our water. Yeah, I say this half jokingly, but we all drink water. And there is fluoride in the water. And I do think of, in the past, governments did put fluoride in the water to keep that certain portion of their population docile. This has happened in countries that have been occupied by a foreign nation. They put fluoride in the water. Yeah, it's several times more than what we put in our water, but 10 times more, but or something like that. I don't think they were so concerned about what the level was, just to put it in the level, I mean in the water, and that kept the population docile. So it could be happening here. That's a possibility. But I think the big reason for it really is, for trouble coming, that is because our nation is going against what God says to do and not do. And I look at some of the things. I look at Ezekiel in there, because Ezekiel says some things about falling away from God and what happens. And often enough, it's about famine. And there's the four sword judgments of God in Ezekiel 14:21. They are war, famine, beasts, and bad bugs. So we know what war is, we know what famine is. Beasts, that's a little open to interpretation, but it's animals of various sizes, and pestilence, which I'm saying is bad bugs, that's the same thing. It could be bacteria, and it could be viruses, or it could be molds and funguses. It's a wide meaning in Hebrew. But the four sword judgments of God, they tell us what will happen, and that is from Ezekiel, and so I think it's good to pay attention to. I speak about these things even though they're not pleasant to listen to, but Ezekiel in those passages just kind of presses on me as something that's important. And because I see it as important, I talk about it. So that's one of the things I talk about, the preparedness part, because I just see that trouble could be coming to our nation. And I'm concerned about our lives, from our souls, hearts, to our hearts and our minds, and our will, and that is including our relationship with God. So there's so much of that. The relationship with God includes our relationship with our neighbor. There's just things that we would do well, I say, to pay attention to. Definitely. So I know that in recent weeks I've talked about the characteristics of God, and one of the characteristics is God. I mean, is love. One characteristic is love, and another characteristic is judgment. So God and judgment, they go together. They do, because God hates evil. And another way of looking at it is that God gives us consequences for what we do, even the things we say. So I think it's so important to recognize, in the midst of the love that God has for us, there is also judgment. God judges evil, and I think he calls upon us to seek out that understanding and to live for things that are righteous, and to turn from evil. That's, I think, very important. So I do like to talk to you about these different ideas, but certainly you must discern how these things apply in your own life. It's always a question. There's a lot of people, a lot of scholars, a lot of pastors who have some different ideas of what this all means. But I think for us followers of Jesus Christ, we should be as the Bereans did in Acts 17, and search the scriptures and understand and give every bit of effort that you can to seeking what God's will is. Now, for all these things, you can be helped by other people. You can have a Bible study that is helpful. You can have a parent that is helpful, or a priest, or a pastor. There's lots of people who can be helpful. But I say search this out, because it is your responsibility to search out these things on your own. You need to be responsible for it. And that's the way that God's orientation sure looks to me that way, that you are responsible for your own salvation. And that means search this out and be responsible for it. I know that in Ezekiel chapter 33 and chapter 3, Ezekiel talks about the watchman, and that the watchman must warn of the approaching danger. And that's something that I think about sometime. I certainly do. And I think of, what is that danger? What is that approaching danger? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Probably the answer is yes. Probably the answer is both. And I do have a sense that God is talking to me in those Ezekiel passages. But maybe he's talking to you also. So I say these things to you that you can see how that registers to your inner being, that part of your soul that God speaks to. So I do feel a certain pressure, call it an imminent danger that I have a sense of, that these things are close at hand. Now, the last days, what are the end times? We all have to get a little understanding, and certainly we can read commentaries, we can get further understanding, but I like to think the best way for understanding to come about is for each one of us to read the Bible a lot. And then you get understanding as you read. Of course, before you read, you say a little prayer and ask God to show you what he would have you to see. And that's a part of submission that we do. We submit our will to his. And wouldn't it be wonderful to know everything? God knows everything. We don't. So when we submit our will to him, I think it goes a lot better. So, yeah, read the Bible, but ask him for his guidance and his understanding. So I do think about these things. I think about preparedness and how we can be prepared, and I can only say that everybody has their own ideas. But I say also that it's better to be prepared a year too early than a day too late. So, when things happen, I sure don't know. But I do talk about the things that are potential dangers, and I do that because it just shows up to me that these things could be quite close at hand. When? Now that I don't know. Like I said, is it 7 weeks or 7 years? Well, I sure think it could be either one of them. So if we have some supplies on hand, I just think it's better. And that's what I urge you to do. Everybody gets to figure out what those supplies are and what they should do. We all have different ideas. So we all do something. And we do what we can. And whether we're rich or poor, there's always something we can do. And I have always been able to have some supplies, even if I didn't know that this is what I was supposed to do. I did have some supplies, and I'm glad that I wasn't in poverty for most of my life. So, but it is a different for different people, and we all have to do what we can. Everybody is called on to do a different thing. We all have different traits. We all have different character and abilities, and we do what we can. And as a community, we have a chance to come together and make things good for everybody. Now, in my life, like I've said, I've seen all sorts of things go on. I've seen many different problems, many things going on, not just in the local area, But out of state and out of country, I've seen lots of little things. Or big things, really serious problems. And I tell you that you can solve the problems. You are able. You have the abilities. You have to put your mind to it, and you have to consider what you just might do if you encounter some big problem, but you just make your plans and do the best you know how. And we all have different thoughts, and we all have different thoughts about what we should do. And that's what we do. We do what we can. So I do encourage you to look at all the possibilities. And you have your own style. You have your own character. And you will do the things that make sense to you. And I think that's how God made us, so that we can do things all different ideas and all different abilities. And then, as a community, we are more able to solve problems together, to overcome the difficulties in front of us. So I do encourage you, though, to consider what certain surprises could be, because there are going to be surprises come along. They always do. There's normal surprises, and there's shocking surprises. And they all have different characteristics. There's things that are particular to each individual problem. And each of us as an individual, we have different characteristics too. That will enable us to solve so many of the problems. Because I don't know what to tell you to prepare for. There's just too many things. The list is way too long. And you just would do well to have a look at what that long list of problems could be. And then you will have a way to counter those problems, whether they're simple things or complex matters. There's lots of things that there could be. You know, we look at the extremes, and sometimes that's the most appropriate thing to do. And I think with those hurricanes that came around us a few weeks ago, that was a good example of what is it like to have an extreme example of a problem. No electricity, no gasoline, no money. Yeah, all these things can happen. Oh, and no water, and no food. Those people in trouble were so grateful to have water, a little bottle of water. Yes, and today we can do things to store water. We have containers available, and water, that's so important. But we all have different ways of doing things, and there's always different problems that can happen right here in our neighborhood, from a fire to a flood to an earthquake. All sorts of things could happen. And then what would we do if we could not get fresh water? Oh, what a big question. It's a difficult question. Store water, store food. We always need those. As for electricity and gasoline or money from the bank or the ATM machine, all these things are also things to consider. But you get to figure it out, and I get to tell you about the things that just might be a problem. You think about it, and if they strike you too, then do something. And if they don't, leave it alone. Go to something else. Oh, too many people I know have talked about the possible problems that just might occur. I've been surprised at the growing number of people who see that we just could have a serious problem. And sure, people hope it doesn't, but they are aware that serious problems could come to us right here, right where you are. No matter where you are, they could still affect you. From natural disasters to money disasters to, look at Korea. Some people think that's going to be one. And one of the things I wonder about is, do they have an EMP weapon on one of those two satellites that go over our country every day? Well, we just don't know. But there's a couple of governments that are friendly with North Korea, In particular, it's China and Russia. And we don't know what gifts they have given North Korea. Well, some of them we do. We know that they have submarines and various ships, boats, let's call them. They were very economically made available to North Korea. Oh, but I don't mean to dwell on that. I just mean to say there's lots of things that could happen. And if we know that there's some problems, it gives us an idea about what to be prepared with and for. I know that there's plenty of people who have been having 10 to 20 days of canned food, and they're concerned about that. They are concerned with having food and water available. This is just regular people who I end up talking to here and there. They're seeing the needs, and maybe you should too. 10 days, 20 days, I don't know what the answer is, but there's more and more people who are seeing that the length of time that something could happen could be longer than we ever guessed. They see fires, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes. All these things could affect all sorts of places in the United States. And just, we often think of food, but food is, well, that's very important. And that's just because we have water so available. If we had to walk a mile for a gallon of water or a 5-gallon pail of water, we would consider water to be more important. But as it is, we have had so many decades of water delivery so dependably that we don't even think of water anymore. And yet, that's the thing that is so important. Another thing is, if you look at the natural disasters that have occurred, you can see that the grocery store shelves are just cleaned out of the best items within 2 hours, and most items within a day. So if you think that you can go to the store and get what you need if somebody hears of an emergency, the things you want will be gone. It's just something to think about. And if you ever think about money, that's another part. Money. Now, I've known of people who have been rich. I've been around a few, and not my position's a little different, but I've looked into the world of money, and I see that things are really, really, they could be very deep trouble for the United States economy in every sense and on every level. You look at people not having money or even being in debt. This is on every level. On the personal level, in the small businesses around, for corporations, for state government, for federal government, there is just so much debt, and we are just assuming that we are going to have money coming in. And if our economy gets really unstable, why, it will get really difficult. Unstable, unsustainable, just plain difficult on every level. Like I said, personally, small business-wise, corporately-wise, state government-wise, federal government-wise, and the tax returns or income for the federal government are decreasing. And that's showing that there's weakness in the economy because people don't have as much money as they used to pay taxes. There's lots of things that could happen, but we don't know what. The point is be aware of it. There's all sorts of things. Now, I've had a lot of years at looking at the situations of money and governments, and it's just been fun for me. There's people who do find it fun. So I've looked at things from Rome to England and France and early America and modern-day countries, Russia, China, Lebanon and Zimbabwe, Argentina, that's a big one, and Cyprus and Greece. There's just so many places that I've looked at to try to understand what went on, and I see that there are economic laws, and what they're doing is showing themselves to me, and I see the handwritings on the wall. Now, it's not that everybody agrees with me. There's plenty of people who say, well, it's been fine for all these years, all my life. Why would I think it'll be any different? Well, if you have the thoughts that I've had, you can see it's pretty obvious that we are in danger of a collapse in the United States of America. Now, we've stood strong for so many years, so many decades, that we just don't know what will happen. And I recognize that's true. I don't know. But I can see it's a problem. There's economic situations, economic dominoes, let's say. And will they fall? I don't know, but it's sure possible. All the way around the world we see it. And these are amazing times we live in. And God has put us here for a time such as this. Right now, He has put us here. And I think He can expect us to do His will, and that we will prevail as we do His will. I think of Esther, and she was put there for a time such as this. And that's what we are put here for, a time such as this. And we can understand it, and we can deal with it. So, like I said, I don't know what lies ahead. I surely will say that. But I know that I've seen lots of troubling times in recent history and in ancient history. I've read about it, and I've seen parts of it myself. So I must impress upon anyone who hears me to examine these situations for yourself and to take steps. Do things that you see as prudent. Do things that you see as necessary. And I see a part of what I do is to show you that there are these possibilities, and then you get to figure out if they're valid, if they're not valid, and then what to do about it. Because it really is for each one of us to do what we're called on to do. Do I know what it is? I know what it is for me, and you get to know what it is for you. So the most important part of it is spiritual. Now, for all the things I talk about physical, yes, that's important. But the spiritual is the most important. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your personal Savior? Is it He who saves you? Yes, it is He. And it is not a church. It is not a religion. And you have to rely on God through Jesus Christ. The Bible describes it. Now, is the Bible important enough for you to read? I've heard it called God's love letter to men and women, and it's mankind. So everybody will be able to read it and get an understanding. But after you get some understanding, whether it's by talking to somebody or listening to someone, then the choice is yours, and you get to make that decision. Choose wisely, because you're going to hell or to heaven depends upon that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is because Jesus, it is through Jesus that you were forgiven. So this journey starts somewhere. Where it is, it's always different for, I think, everybody. And there's different things that are similar, probably, but we all have a different path. I know one of the things I think of is the people who don't have Bibles available, and they get a dream or a vision. And often enough, that's in a country that's difficult to live in. So, like I said, the journey starts someplace, and if you don't know if there is a God, if you don't know that Jesus is real? Ask that question. God, if you're real, show me. Jesus, if you are real, show me. He will. Now, some people get answered very, very quickly, immediately, in fact, and some people, it takes a whole lot longer. Like me, for me, it took about 10 years of real studying. It was a little less than 10 years, but I really had to study. I had to look into these matters, and then I became convinced that the Bible was a real book. Jesus was real, God was real, the Holy Spirit was real, and I needed to dedicate my life towards Him. So, whatever the way is for you, we are all different. God has a different message for each one of us, and He shows us ever so differently. So, whatever the right way is for you, that is going to be what God shows you. He will show you personally and individually, because we all are different, and He will work inside of you to show you whether it's that immediate thing or whether it takes almost 10 years. And people are all different. They all have different experiences, but they all end up in the same place of faith in Jesus Christ. So I keep thinking of these things. I keep thinking about my journey, not a lot, but just from time to time. And there's things I just think about. I think about telling you, the listener, here on Christ Today. It's very good. There's some of the life experiences I have I think are kind of interesting. One of them was, this was about 40 years ago. There was a teacher's strike going on citywide in Lima, Peru. And the teachers wanted everyone to know how unhappy they were that the raises that they had been promised had not taken place. The government was in charge of that, and the government did not put their raises into place. And so what they did was they wanted to let everybody know they were unhappy and unsatisfied. What did they do? They put rocks in the road, the highway, the main highway, big highway. 10-inch rocks, 5-inch rocks, 15-inch rocks, all of it. They just put them all over the roadway. And it sure got everyone's attention for most of a week. And there were miles, like 3 miles or 5 miles of roadway where the traffic could get around, but they just had to crawl around those rocks, go this way or that way, just to avoid having their car damaged. Everyone went so slow. Now, I thought about that, and the reason I tell you is because it's easy to speak about this, demonstrate that this is how easy it would be to disrupt normal life here in America. If you're traveling by car, well, if the journey took you 5 times longer than it normally would, it sure would get your attention. So that's one of the things you learn. Another interesting part of that trip was, just before that trip, I went to with my neighbor to a hardware store, and he was buying some tools. While he was there, he saw a sale on .22 ammunition. So it was something that this made an impression of me. He bought 5 boxes of it for 99 cents a box. It was on sale, 99 cents a box. So when I was in Peru that time, I saw a sporting goods store, and I went in to see what was in there. I was thinking of a pocket knife, but I did look around, talked with the fellow at the counter, and I asked about the .22 ammunition that he had in there. And so I asked him how much the .22 ammunition cost. And he said, $2. And I said, oh, $2 a box? And he said, no, $2 each bullet. So I'm converting the money into U.S. dollars. But I wanted to tell you this because the big impression to me was here, you were talking about a box of the little 22 ammunition for $1 a box. And in Peru at the time, it was $100 a box. And that is because the government wanted to discourage anybody with firearms. So they heavily taxed anything related to firearms, whether it was something to do with a gun or something to do with the ammunition. That way you had to be very, very rich to be able to afford such a thing. Just interesting. So the point is, here's what can happen. All it is it's legislation. And the legislation could happen just as easily here. Well, no, not just as easily. But it could happen here. We could have changes. We could have surprises. And all these things can happen here. But that was sure a surprise to me. $1 versus $100 per box. Well, all sorts of things can happen. In history, patterns repeat. And one of the things that show themselves is, for one reason or another, economic hardships. This is a pattern that's repeated in history. It's repeated in distant world history and recent world history. The pattern is so easy to see, but we always think, oh, it won't happen here. Why? Because it has not happened in our lifetime. But when you have family lines that run a long way back, or like me, parents and people who live into old age, so like all my grandparents were born in the 1800s. So the point is you get a little different view as you look at things that are distant from the times and the days that we live in now. And I think it's a great thing to read those history books and to look at what happened. And you can certainly see the patterns. You can certainly see that being prepared is good, sure, with items, and certainly with food and water, definitely, because that's something we always need. So another one of those things is get out of debt completely. I think that's one of those important things. Even if we have massive inflation, as an economy, the inflation would mean that our jobs would dry up. We would not have regular jobs, in all likelihood. So it's one of those words of caution that prepare for the what-ifs and for the just-in-case. So I say again that the most important thing is your spiritual relationship with God. There is no doubt about that. That is so very important. Learn to talk to God. Learn to hear His voice. That's something which, it could happen immediately, and it could happen taking some time. And I'm sure for everyone it's different, but we do want to hear the voice of God. He knows everything. He knows the past and the future and what is right now in our lives. So God can direct you. Listen to hear His voice. And about life now, though, there's so many possibilities happening. Sure, there's good and wonderful things, too. I don't mean there aren't. It's just that the problems that could happen are becoming more and more likely to occur. But when? Like I said, I don't know when. God knows the timing of it. Pray, ask Him to touch your understanding, or some people would say your heart, and then be prepared to act on it, because if we don't do anything, we already know what the results will be. Nothing. And we won't be prepared in the way that we would like to be prepared. God is our protection. God is our strength. And prayer has a real and a physical effect. Ask God to intervene for the situations around us. Ask Him to intervene for our nation. Ask Him. Pray. We want Him to reduce the effects of the troubles that are coming to us as a country, to us individually. There can still be troubles. There might be hurricanes. There might be fires. There might be earthquakes. And there might be violence. But our prayers are heard, and they do have a real effect when we pray. A good effect. We know this from handwritten testimonies. Some of them are very old and some of them are very new. But we have a lot of people who speak about their surprising or even miraculous experiences. Oh, yes, they happen. And God is good. He gives us wonderful things. And yet there's another part of God, and that is judgment because of the decisions we make. And don't forget, we have an adversary. An adversary who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, from time to time, we see examples of these things in our own life, or our own society, even in our own churches and our own government. There's things that happen, things sometimes that we can't even explain. But we do want to be careful with our words. We want to make sure that our reputation is intact and that our testimony is heard. So, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, be not deceived. And what exactly does this mean is different for everybody. We do have to be discerning because there's all sorts of things going on around us. There's deception all around us. And this is a war. There is a war that is taking place to deceive us, to ensnare us. It is between good and evil, or more accurately, it is between God and Satan. And they tell us that Satan is the god of this world. And that's one of the reasons why he has so much influence over things, is because we see things in the world that we can gain through an alliance with evil. But it's never good in the long run. So be aware, as I said, discernment. Discernment. It does not take much evil or even a lie to cause the beginning of some distrust, some bad thought, or even an action. So be careful about all that. Be as righteous and holy as we can be. That's the goal. And we are to take every one of our thoughts captive. You know that actions, they begin with a thought, even if it's fleeting, even if we hardly recognize it. The thought is the beginning, and then our minds work towards the action of it. Now, as a Christ follower, we are to make every effort to reflect Christ in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. It doesn't mean we do it perfectly, but that's what we try. Oh, there's that word again, try. That's what we do. We purpose it in our heart to do it so that it is only Christ's righteousness that comes through us. And it takes for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. Of course, that's mankind. It's men and women. Edmund Burke said that 100 years ago. More than 100. So the idea is all it takes for evil to flourish is for good men and women and mankind to do nothing. So give that a little bit of thought. And I will say, a few weeks ago, maybe you remember, Well, I told a story, did I say weeks? Several months ago, I told a story about several men who were building a tall structure. Ooh, like three stories high in New England. That was like 250 years ago. And at the top of the building, one of the workmen was out there early, and he wiggled or something, and he saw an unsecured timber slip from the very top. And the timber fell. And there should not have been children playing below him in a work area, but early that morning there were children playing below him. And as the timber fell, he said, "Lord, guide it." Lord, guide it. That was his short prayer. And the timber hit on its end, and it bounced and fell over, and it hit no children. No child was hit or injured when it could have been a tragic occurrence. Now, that was years ago that I read that story, but it made me realize what it was like to have that kind of an instant relationship with God. God and with and through Jesus Christ. So today, what does that mean? I think of Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And a supplication is a plea or a request. But praying always, that's made an impression on me. We have a lot going on today in our country and in the world. Lots going on. There's lots going on of violent things, of things that we don't want to have happen, but they are. So how can these things be going on? Is it that we have lost that certain morality, that morality of God? It seems to me that that's certainly the case. So let us try to understand. Let us try to form ideas and answers with the information that we have. Oh, and that's another thing. We don't get complete information for years. Years it takes. Look back and see the things. Why, even now, the things from the Kennedy assassination in 1965, right in there, was kept secret, even to this day. But some documents have come out, but they're highly redacted. It's just interesting. Secrets, even John F. Kennedy, he said that secrets were not a part of a democracy. But those things were kept secret. Anyway, the point is that things are going on and we do not have enough information. And yet we're asked to make decisions without sufficient information. And now we've seen a tremendous, tremendous tragedy has taken place in Las Vegas some few days ago. And I think we can all pray for the families of the victims and the survivors who witnessed that event. Pray. Pray, ask for mercy. That something happened. It was not of God. God is a God of good. But there's also the God of this world who interacts with the situations and with people who will listen. So we must always pray. And one of those things that we also have to be concerned about is coming to quick conclusions, because there's many reports by the witnesses about what happened. Just let things take their course and recognize what comes out, because like I said, there's lots of conflicting reports. There's reports of multiple sources of gunfire in that terrible shooting. Even by the responding policemen, they said that's on their, that tape that they always run. So there's just lots of questions. Was that gunman Was he alive or dead after the shooting or before the shooting? And there's just a lot of unanswered questions, things that we can't ever know. We won't know. But the point is not to act on things that we don't know and let things take a course, their course, to see what actually gets reported. After all, there's lots of conflicting reports. The hotel employees have receipts that show there were two people in that room. And it's been suggested that it was a sting operation to ensnare ISIS. ISIS did initially claim responsibility for this. What's going on? I don't know. There's ties to the Middle East. The girlfriend of that man was in Dubai a couple of years ago. There's just ties and connections that we don't know what they are. And so I just say, use caution before you come to a conclusion. There's lots of information that has yet to be discovered. And I urge caution because I think about those words that have been repeated so often. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. So that's something which we must be aware of. There have been many events in the last 25 years that have been used to change our laws. Pretty much they've been terrorist events, and our lawmakers have changed laws. It's probably not for the best for the American citizens. So be careful, be cautious, and remember the words of Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Those who surrender their freedom for security will surely have neither." So he said that. There's been many other people who have said those very same words. Those who surrender their freedom for security will surely have nothing. Be careful. Be cautious. These are perilous times that we are living in. And you want to make sure that your actions are well thought out, that they are not simply an emotional response. You'll want to have reason and use all caution before you support a certain situation. And pray. Pray for the protection of these unknown events. They are important to pray against, and pray for God's righteousness to be prevalent throughout our land, throughout our society. And then, you know, I say be prepared, because anything can happen, and it can be an earthquake, a hurricane, a tsunami. All sorts of things can happen. And the whole idea is take a few steps to be prepared. Look into it and seek what it is that your conscience would have you to do, because it's going to be different for everybody. But do something to be prepared reasonably. And may God be with you. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Thank you for listening.